Matthew, the 18th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him by the throat, he said, pay what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience on me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his Lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Just before we launch into the sermon and the next part of the service, I have to make an announcement that I forgot to make earlier. And that is, according to the regulations, we are asked not to sing during worship. And so I'd like to invite you, as we continue and we come to some more hymns, to hum along as you wish. But Angela and I will have to sing on your behalf. So that is, announcement I very much regret to have to make, but that is where we're at these days. Last week's gospel text launched us into this theme of forgiveness, as it talked about a detailed way of reconciliation among members of the church community. Jesus called his community, in fact, the church, to become a community, you could say, of truth and reconciliation. People who tell the truth about what is real, what is sometimes hard truths to hear, but also a community that is committed to doing the work of reconciliation of relationships. Whatever you bind on earth, Jesus said, will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, Jesus was saying, I'm giving this enormous power to free and liberate people to you, my people, my community, my church. Go into the world and do as I do. Do as I have done for you. Telling the truth about powers that harm, releasing people from bondage, freeing them from everything that holds them captive, and forgiving their sins. Forgiving their sins. It's that last part that we're going to talk about more today. Forgiveness. And to tell you the truth, in many ways, I would rather not. I'd rather not talk about forgiveness, partly because I struggle with it so much myself. I don't think I'm very good at it. And then partly I don't want to talk about it because I think that the word itself could be next to useless. Do any of us really know what forgiveness means? Last week, I challenged our text study group to define forgiveness. What is actually happening when someone says, "I forgive you"? What's going on between them? What's going on in their hearts? And the group last week had some really great reflections. And I'll come back to them. But first, I think I want to start with what I believe most of us think when it comes to the topic of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Well, if we had to put it into words, a lot of times we might say it is refraining to take the vengeance that rightly belongs to us. Forgiveness is refraining to take vengeance that we think that we're actually entitled to. This, I would say, is the default definition of our jackal minds. You remember jackal from earlier on. Jackal is that part of us, of course, as I said, that is interested in survival, our own survival, not so much interested in other people's survival. Jackal thinks in terms of dualities, right and wrong, good and bad, appropriate, inappropriate. For jackal, life is transactional. You give me something good, and I'll do the same for you. But if you hurt me, I will hurt you back. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, that's jackal's rule of life. Forgiveness exists in jackal's world, but really it's just another deal. You wrong me, and I will refrain from my rightful vengeance this time, but really I expect to be paid back by you later on. It's a favor owing. Or maybe jackal will think, I will forgive, I'll refrain from taking my vengeance, and that will increase my status. Again, another kind of deal the jackal makes. I think this is Peter's view of forgiveness. I think it's, as I say, most of our own default view. So the question is, how many times should we forgive? That's what Peter wants to know. For Peter and most of us, it's just decency to rise above and let go of many slights and offenses that people give to us every day. Forgiving once, no problem. That's how the world keeps turning. Twice, well, that's generous. Three times, now that's a really good person. Forgiving and forgetting or refraining from vengeance seven times seems to Peter to be holiness itself. That's a really high bar. But you know, in jackal's world, even at the level of one or two incidents of harm that call for forgiveness, there are objections. What about those things that are really hurtful? Those times when the person seems disinclined to take responsibility, let alone apologize. Those episodes that wound you each time you remember them. Those words and deeds that have marked you deeply and painfully and feel like they'll never go away. What about that? Are we just supposed to say, oh, it's all okay, turn the other cheek and all that, and just let it all keep happening? Are we supposed to let things go, forgive and forget, overlook the wrong? Jackal has objection after objection as to why forgiveness should not be offered. And you have to say, from Jackal's viewpoint, they are perfectly justified and reasonable objections. If forgiveness is just refraining and letting things go and saying it's okay, maybe that is not a good way, forgiveness. How many times should we forgive, Jackal asks, running up into all of those obstacles pretty quickly. And Jesus answers, not 7 times, but I tell you, 77 times. And Jackal's mind is blown. Seems like at first Jesus has set this bar at an impossibly high level. Unreasonable. It's not right to ask somebody to let things go that much. And true enough, it isn't. I think Jesus is up to something else, though. Impossibly high, that's exactly the point. It's meant to break Jackal's mindset open and open our hearts to a new way of thinking and being in the world. Jesus is inviting us into a different consciousness that no longer imagines forgiveness as an individual act of refraining from vengeance, but as the adoption of a whole way of relating to other people that is rooted in empathy. Jesus is asking us to forgive as a way of relating to people that is rooted in empathy. This is giraffe consciousness. Remember, giraffe. Giraffe is that part of us that has a great and an open heart. Giraffe is not stuck in the weeds of primal emotions like rage and fear, but has a large and a calm perspective. Giraffe is free to respond to others instead of a slave to emotion, reacting only. Giraffe is compassionate and empathetic and hopeful. Giraffe cares not merely about survival, but about well-being, one's own and others at the same time. Giraffe has the perspective to name those debts and sins and trespasses and hurts and harms and injustices for what they are. Giraffe doesn't fear to name the truth. And yet, giraffe is also able to see those who harm others as human beings, as complete human beings. Or rather, people who are perhaps broken human beings in need of healing themselves. That is forgiveness in giraffe's world. Which returns to that, what I said earlier, that forgiveness seems to be a word that is of limited use because of the way we go to and all of the objections that come up. Forgiveness seems so rooted in Jackal's way of thinking. It might be better just to talk about having empathy than the need to forgive and this compulsion that you ought to and have to forgive. Jesus' tale of the Lord and the slave illustrates this difference between Jackal's and giraffe's forgiveness. It's a story right off Wall Street, isn't it? This king has a slave who has run up this fantastically large debt. 10,000 talents, the text says. And let me give you the exchange rates. A talent was worth, in the ancient world, about 10,000 denarii. 10,000 denarii, which a denarii was the day wage of a laborer in the ancient world. It tells you something about the inequalities of that world when a single coin could hold the value of 10,000 days of work for a laborer. So to bring that into today's currency, the laborer at minimum wage in Alberta, full day, makes $120 an hour, a day, at $15 an hour, right? So you can think of a talent in today's currency, a talent, about $1.2 million. And this slave owes 10,000 times that number. $12 billion owed by a single slave to a king. Those numbers tell you that we're in the realm of hyperbole, a tall tale that is meant to convey a point, right? And he's forgiven this debt. The king in this parable represents what I'm calling giraffe consciousness. One who can see this person before him as a whole human being, helpless to pay, going to be in debt his whole life, and is able then to say, I free you from that. The king has empathy, has compassion and perspective, and frees the slave. And of course, as the story goes on, the sort of dark comedy of this parable of Jesus, that slave goes out and encounters somebody else who owes him, how much? 100 denarii. Okay, $12,000. You, that's big, right? That's big. But it's possible to pay that off. It's possible. And now the slave, though, is filled with rage. Pay me what you owe. He takes him by the throat and shakes him. It's a cartoon here. And the contrast between the slave or the jackal's consciousness and the giraffe's and the king's consciousness could not be more stark. Jackal is concerned only about survival, even when he's been offered all of that empathy. I think Jesus' story here is descriptive rather than proscriptive. It's not telling us what we should do, because then, isn't that part of what our hearts rebel against when we hear this for the first time? How many times should I forgive, says Peter? And it's like Jesus wants to play that game. He says, well, let's play along with that game. Okay, you should forgive 70 times 7 times, or some huge number. And we shy away because we hear it as proscriptive. Like we ought to, we have to. But that's all jackal's language. Ought, have to, must, should. That's all part of jackal's consciousness. What Jesus is doing is just describing what it's like to live in the kingdom of heaven. What it's like to live with this king's consciousness, with this giraffe's consciousness. It's joy. It's being at peace. It's freedom of relationship. And it's possible for us. Jesus invites. He doesn't tell us we should or we have to. And then part of the hard contrast of this parable is that it also shows the other side of what it's like to live in that slave's consciousness. It's like being tortured in prison. It is being imprisoned by one's own emotions and drives and passions. It leads to hell. Hell of relationships. So there is a warning that's embodied here. But there's also such beautiful possibility that is held out here for Jesus' people. I'll just include with one example. Like, as I say, it's hard for me to talk because I don't have giraffe consciousness all the time. I can see it. I have seen it in others. I've sometimes glimpsed it in myself. And here's an example I was recently in the news. A woman known in court documents as MJ, was attacked and sexually assaulted by a man in Banff 12 years ago. And he was caught and convicted and sent to prison for life. And she and her friend who was attacked with her needed to deal with the terrible, terrible harm that had been done to them. And this is what is reported, that in the first couple of years after the attack, MJ felt she was supposed to have certain feelings about her attacker, angry, hateful. But over the years, she has realized that's not how she wants to process her trauma. She's learned that she has some freedom. She can process in a different way. "I wanted to heal, and I wanted him to heal," she said. "I wanted to have a choice in this and speak my truth and know that it's okay that I actually want good things for him." Actually want good things. That's giraffe consciousness. That's a gift. That's something that nobody can say you should have, but it's something that we can find within us and find with the help of others. MJ's message to other trauma survivors is that there is life after. There is hope out there, and there are places you can go for help. And to do that for yourself is the biggest, most impactful act of self-love that you can do. To be connected to your life again and to feel again. She said, "I wasn't always connected to my heart. And when I found that place of joy and happiness, it was the most incredible sense of relief I've ever felt. Because it gave space not only for me to heal my life, but for Corey Bitternose, her attacker, to heal his life also." What a beautiful testament to the king's consciousness, the queen's consciousness, giraffe's consciousness, Jesus' own kingdom of heaven, realm of God consciousness that we are invited into today. Friends, let us be that community of support to one another and practice, because these things take practice. It's hard. It's not just handed to you. It's hard. And we are given this gift of community to help each other to heal, and to find that space, that beautiful realm that Jesus invites us into. Amen.